Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. This ought to be a lot of fun. Isn't really possible to give complete service to a life like Swami Kriyananda's. What an absolutely magnificent incarnation he's had. He's often said that Master came as the avatar of Dwapara Yuga. This whole line of masters came. For those of you who aren't familiar, I don't want to go on to a bi-track here, but the planet goes through different ages, and we have come out of the lowest age, the dark age of Kali Yuga, where the consciousness of mankind was fixated on form and very low consciousness. We've transited out of that into Dwapara Yuga, an age of energy, and we will be in that age for the next 2,400 years. This line of gurus manifested on this plane, incarnated just at the time of that changeover from Dwapara Yuga. In fact, America was born right at the time of that changeover from Dwapara Yuga, and the joining together of East and West is a very, very important aspect of this new age that we're in. I read something very interesting recently. You know that the United States was founded within 10 years of the first English translation of the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't that interesting, the coherence of those two events? So Master said that America and India would join together to lead the world into this new age. Having said that, Master came especially to this country bringing the teachings of India, like bringing a great, great light to this country, the light and the teachings that are needed for the age that we're going into. And he was enormously popular and enormously energetic and powerful with his magnetism, because he had the task, the God-given task, to set this vibration, set the whole planet on the proper direction for this new age. And so it took someone of tremendous power, which he had. But one short life, relatively short life, is not enough to do all of that. And so he needed not just a person, because he needed many, many people, but especially he needed someone to pick up the torch and carry that on. And that was Swami Kriyananda. And we want to talk a little bit about the magnificence of that incarnation and the job that he's done. But it's like Master came to bring the light. Among other things, what Swami has done is to show us how to find that light. You know, he talked this morning. It isn't by chance he talks about the fact that he was always interested in truth. He was, of course, always interested in truth. How is somebody who's going to be essentially responsible for grounding the proper way of living in Dwapara Yuga, how is that person not going to be always directed toward truth? Of course he had to be. But it's almost like he was living through things for us. You know, Ramakrishna went through all of the major religions, went through Christianity and Hinduism and Buddhism and the Muslim religion and all, the major religions, and he lived according to those teachings for a period of time until he achieved liberation through them. And so he was saying, this is a valid pathway and it leads to liberation. One of the things Swami has done in this incarnation, and he talked about it this morning, was to say, here are some dead ends, and they don't lead to liberation. Science does not lead to liberation. I mean, how can it? One of the great, great scientists of the day, David Hawkins, just came out last week, said there's no heaven, there's no God. Stephen Hawkins, the mathematician and theoretical physicist from England. So science is essentially atheistic. Now, eventually, in later Dwapara Yuga, everything is going to come around to see the spirituality. But we're in very, very early Dwapara Yuga right now. We're just pioneers in this. So science isn't the way. The arts as practiced today are not the way. Look around. Look at the... Go on Netflix. Find out how much liberation and enlightenment is there in Netflix. So Swami tried the arts and said, arts aren't the way. Politics. Is politics going to lead us out of this morass of darkness? I don't think so. I mean, they're more confused than anybody else, and they have an agenda to get elected according to their confusion. So that isn't going to get us out. And so all of these false avenues that people are trying. Now, why is it important? That Swami went through those and said, even by the time he was maybe his early 20s or late teenager, that avenue is not going to work because those things are not going to uplift the consciousness of mankind sufficiently. Everything is according to the consciousness and the level of consciousness that we're at. And its master who brought the light of the search for God is the primary way to uplift the consciousness. Now, when I met Swamiji, it was in 1966. And so that's plenty long ago, if you do the math on it. I was with him in San Francisco. I met him. By that time, I came just about the time he ended his story today. You know, he'd been to Yosemite, he'd sung the songs, he started composing music, he started doing classes, and then he got up and walked out this morning, so we're left to tell the rest of the story. Well, that was just about the time that I came to Swami. It's interesting, he said on the way back, he said, you know, I was conceived just at the time that Master got Mount Washington. So the same year, roughly the same time. Personally, my birth was almost concurrent with the getting of the first property of Ananda. All of us, to a certain extent, have incarnated to help Swami help Master, to help Master help God bring in this Dwapara Yuga, and one of the primary ways is through communities. That's why it's so important what Master said. All the other men disciples have disappointed me, and you must not disappoint me. It's like saying, I brought this great light. Don't let this little flame go out. You have to take it. You have to get it going. Otherwise, how is Dwapara Yuga going to find out about and accept the fact of cooperative communities, spiritual communities? Master said that world brotherhood communities, these divine communities, are the lifestyle for the new age. Now, why are communities important? Communities aren't important. Good Lord. People have been living in communities since we got out of the caves or while we were still in the caves. Little communities of people together, little villages, little cities, big cities, all kinds of groupings. There are communities, artist communities, scientific communities, universities, communist communities. There are all kinds of communities. Communities as communities is not important. But spiritual communities, where you take all of the groupings that Master brought, you take the spiritual teachings, the search for God, and the method that will get us there, the techniques of yoga, and especially of Kriya Yoga, you take those and let meditation, let those techniques be the basis of life. Let the search for God, as Swami said, his whole life was the search for truth. Let the search for truth be the core quality of a community. Then you have a community that's worth something. a community that has come together intentionally to search for truth and to show what the result of living according to those truths are. So that's what Swami brought. I think that maybe, I don't know, sounded like the sound went off. That's what Swami came in order to bring, that Master charged him and empowered him and gave him such a thrust of energy to bring. Now, communities are important partly because of the switchover of the paradigm of Dwapara Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the world was so dark that you had to stay away from it. You got yourself into a monastery, you walled up that monastery, you got a cloister, and basically you never went out because the world out there was a dark and frightening place. And the churches had thick walls and high spires, and as a friend of ours said, they were defensible from a military standpoint. You know, so that's Kali Yuga. But Dwapara Yuga comes in, and what Dwapara Yuga wants to show, especially above everything else, is that God exists everywhere. God exists in families. God exists in businesses. God exists in children. God exists in nature. God exists everywhere. And if we tune into God and work with God's empowerment, that transforms our life. And so that has to start by people being dedicated to the search for God. So that's where Swami started when he got the mission that he was ready to do. He started out giving classes to show that he went throughout the Bay Area. San Francisco is where he had his apartment. Went throughout the Bay Area, around all the way to Sacramento and all around. Every night of the week, he gave a class series in a different place. And so it would be 6 weeks of meditation or of hatha yoga, partly because that was the thing that people were more interested in. And it was a young group of people that he was drawing. And then he would have a little break and give a six-week series in Raja Yoga, basically how to meditate. And that's what he was doing. He was planting those seeds. And when I met him in 1966, the first thing I did was to take that series of classes from him. And then the next thing that I did was to take them again. And then the next thing I did was to take them again, because that's all he was doing at the time. He was going around teaching those classes, planting those seeds, saying this is the preparation, this is the foundation for what's going to come. If there isn't the search for God, what difference does anything else make? So the search for God, and this is how you do it. Here's how you meditate. Here's how you prepare yourself. And so those were the seeds. Then he got the land, first land here. And he was enormously energetic. Boy, was he energetic. And fearless, you know. I mean, he just went anywhere. You heard, I mean, nobody's going to go work his way up to meet Nehru and get property in the Greenbelt who's a coward, let's face it. That's not going to be a shrinking violet that does that kind of... Well, he carried that on, and he was powerful in those early days. I remember walking up and down the streets of San Francisco. And San Francisco's liberal, yes, but in my first months with him, I felt a little odd, a little embarrassed. Him with his long hair streaming behind and orange robes on and striding up with a harmonium in one hand and a suitcase in the other hand and walking through the streets and people kind of looking at him. Well, he was working some wrinkles out of me. That era soon passed. And so I became his assistant in San Francisco. But he was going around every night of the week. And for a period of time, he was also holding morning meditations in his little apartment. So he'd start at 6 in the morning, and he'd finish at 10:30 or 11 at night, and then he'd do some correspondence, and then he'd get up the next day, and he'd do it again, and he was coming up, as he said, a volcano of creative ideas. So he was planting those seeds. And then in 69, the spring of 69, he moved here to the community. So it was the founding of the community that really started the solidity of the work that brought people who could not just be interested from afar with these teachings, but those who were dedicated to living by them. And also, you must not disappoint me. You must take these teachings out. And he lived that. There were a lot of people here in the first years who would have been very happy to stay here and never leave and not have to take the teachings out. There was an attempt the first year of a little group that never had any energy, but a little group that wanted to form a tribe, figured we had way too much land, didn't want to have to make the payments, so let's sell the land and get about 30 people and we could live here and not have to bother about all those other people out there. That was not Swami's vision. So one of the things that he had to do in the early years was to magnetize a lot of people with the vision of community, life, God, church, home, and job in one place, high living, simple living, high thinking and simple living, some of those deep principles. And Swami had to magnetize a group. Now we can sit in a room with hundreds of people all magnetized to that vision. Now we have some more seeds that we can go out. Padma and Asha both live in city communities, another form. And then the other thing that Swami has done in this magnificent incarnation is to give wonderful, wonderful clarity to the teachings and to the scriptures, but also to show how through business, through leadership, through success, through education, through marriage, through family, through all the aspects of life, how all of those tie in and become meaningful if God is at the center of them. If they become a marriage lived with God and a partner who also seeks God, then that marriage becomes beautiful. If life and education and leadership and business, if all of those have God at the very center, life becomes meaningful. But God can't be at the center of those unless he is also at the center of the people who are doing those things. And that, above all, is the incarnation that Swami came. He said the two things when he was coming across country on that bus trip, the day after he read Autobiography of a Yogi, he said he had two desires. One was to meet Master and have Master as his guru, so God guiding his life. The other desire was to share this with everyone. And that thrust has been the core of the incarnation. And he's done so much. Others will probably talk about the 140 books that he's written and the 400 pieces of music that we've been hearing that he's written and all of the other activities, but those activities in and of themselves are not as important as the deep, deep attunement. One of the most, well, the two most inspiring things that Swami has said for me is that I want to be known as Master's disciple. If somebody needs to describe me as a good disciple of Master. And so that's one aspect of what he has done for this entire incarnation. The other thing that is, he often has said, and don't let it just kind of pass as some nice little aphorism, he said, I've been able to do all of this because I've done nothing. God has done it. And that knowledge from him and the magnetism of it, the modeling of that for all of us, that it is only God who is acting and we are the channels for that energy to flow through, the more we realize that it's God acting, the more enormously vast and powerful the things that seem to come from us might be. But they don't come from us. They come from God. They come from discipleship. They come from the complete dedication of body, mind, and soul to attunement to God's will, our will attuned to God's will. And that's what spiritual communities are about. That's why they're important, because they become living models of how to live in attunement with God. That's why Master came into Dwapara Yuga, was to bring that model, and why Swami incarnated, and why we are all here. Now, I don't mean just communities, because not everybody is going to live in communities. I mean the mindset, the attitudes, the community of consciousness that lives according to those principles. And that magnificent incarnation is what Swami came.